At this time every year, the Church celebrates a special feast in honor of the Most Holy Eucharist, the sacrament of Christ's body and blood. It's called Corpus Christi. The Eucharist is the most important part of the life of the Catholic Church. It is the source, the center, and the summit of the Church's life. Very, very important. And the Eucharist is part of the life of the Catholic Church every day, all over the earth. And this leads us to wonder then, why do we need a special feast in honor of the Holy Eucharist, Corpus Christi? Is it really necessary since we have the Eucharist every day? Corpus Christi is very special. It is a great, wonderful expression of our Eucharistic faith. We have things such as Eucharistic processions, spending time in adoration of the Blessed Sacrament. It's very focused on the mystery of the Eucharist. Why do we do this, since we do have the Eucharist celebrated every day in the Catholic Church? Well, first of all, since the Eucharist is the real presence of the Lord Jesus, then we can never honor him too much. There is present in the Eucharist the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, true God and true man, Jesus Christ the Lord. Secondly, it's possible for us, any one of us, from time to time, to fail to appreciate the tremendous gift that we have in this sacrament. St. Paul tells us in his first letter to the Corinthians, "For I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same way, also the chalice after supper, saying, 'This chalice is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me.'" From the earliest days, the Church was aware that the Eucharist is, in fact, the real presence of the Lord Jesus. We have a word in theology called transubstantiation. This is a big word, but it's the word we use to describe what happens at Mass. In this word, transubstantiation, there is the root word substance. The word substance basically refers to what something is in its very nature. If you have a piece of wood in your hand, its substance is wood, very simply. It could be in the shape of a baseball bat or a club or a cane or a 2x4, but its substance is wood. Transubstantiation means that the substance changes. In the Catholic Church, before Mass, what you have usually brought up to the altar or taken from the credence table along the side is simply bread and wine. That's what those things are in their substance. One is bread, the other is wine, and nothing more. But when a validly ordained Catholic priest says the words, "This is my body," over the bread, and "This is the chalice of my blood," over the wine, there is transubstantiation. The substance changes. What the bread is, what the wine is, changes. At the moment of consecration, when those words are spoken by a validly ordained Catholic priest, you no longer have bread there. It's no longer wine. It may look like bread and look like wine, but it is not bread, is not wine. It is Jesus Christ, his true body, blood, soul, and divinity. Christ is really present in the Eucharist, substantially present in the Eucharist. Now, people will say that Jesus is present everywhere. We can say he is present in his people. We can say he's present in the suffering and the poor. And that's true. But the Eucharist is the most substantial, if you will, or the most powerful mode of the presence of Christ. He is truly, really, and substantially there. Jesus Christ, God and man, makes himself wholly and entirely present in this sacrament. In fact, we actually worship the Eucharist. Now, someone will say, well, you can't do that because you can't worship things. You can only worship God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Well, the one who is true God and true man is really present in the Eucharist. And so we, with abandon, worship the Holy Eucharist. How can we fail, though, to appreciate the awesome treasure we have in this sacrament that Christ has given us, the sacrament of his real presence, the Holy Eucharist? Well, one way we can fail is to doubt. From time to time, people may have questions about the real presence of Christ in the Eucharist and difficulties understanding this great mystery. But then someone can begin to doubt the real presence of Christ. That's a problem. And when we attempted to doubt the real presence of Jesus, then we must rely on the teaching authority of the Magisterium of the Catholic Church. He is there, truly present in the Eucharist. Even if we did not believe he was really present, he is. He is there. Many years ago, about 1,200 years ago, there was a priest in an Italian town called Lanciano in Italy, and he had doubts about the real presence of Christ in the Eucharist. You know, he probably wondered, how is it possible, a poor man such as me, when I take the bread and wine, in one second I have bread in my hand, then after the words of consecration, I now have the Son of God, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, truly present in the Eucharist that I'm holding in my hands, then in the chalice. How is this possible? Well, this priest began to doubt this. And one day he was celebrating Mass, and when he said the words of consecration over the bread and over the wine and the chalice, this is my body, this is the chalice of my blood, the elements of the Eucharist visibly changed. It was a Eucharistic miracle. There are many Eucharistic miracles throughout the world. You can look this one up on the internet about Lanciano. And in the 1970s, and some years after that, they actually tested this Eucharistic host that was preserved miraculously for hundreds of years. And they discerned scientifically that the sacred host had turned into the flesh of a human heart, and that the blood had turned into globules of human blood with the blood type AB. And this blood type AB was the same kind of blood type recovered off the Shroud of Turin, which is believed to be the burial cloth of Christ. Well, we want to have faith. Jesus is really present in the Eucharist. These Eucharistic miracles that happen throughout history are quite interesting. But you know, at every Mass, the profound, most profound miracle happens when the bread and wine is changed substantially into the body and blood, soul and divinity of Jesus. He is there. The other way we can fail to appreciate the awesome treasure we have in this great sacrament has to do with sin. We know that today the Church says that if we are conscious of committing a grave sin, that if we're conscious of breaking one of the Ten Commandments and the teachings of Christ and the Church, then we really need to go to confession before we go to communion. And we really should respect this discipline of the Church. If we're conscious of grave sin, we've got to get the confession first. That's the way that we allow Christ's mercy to take us off the path of sin and put us back on the path of holiness. Well, if we decide to sin and then fail to repent, refuse to go to confession, refuse to live a life of faith, refuse to repent and have a spirit of conversion in our hearts, we don't trust in God, well, we're now living in a state of sin. And therefore, even if we go to receive communion in this spiritual state, which is very sad, we do not benefit from the graces of the Eucharist. Here's an analogy. Imagine if you have a flower and you plant it in the ground and you have good soil and you water it. When the sun shines on the flower, it produces something called photosynthesis that basically enables the flower to flourish. It has good soil, good water, and now the sunlight. Well, if you dig up the flower and throw it with its roots on the street, and it's no longer connected to nutrients in the soil, it's no longer receiving any water, well, that same sun that once produced photosynthesis in it will no longer benefit the flower. It will dry up and die. Well, that's an analogy. It's kind of like the soul. If our soul is rooted in the desert of sin, if we have no nutrients in our soul, if you will, then the Son of God, shining upon us with his rays of his real presence in the Eucharist, won't be able to benefit our soul because we're closed off to the grace of communion. St. Thomas Aquinas says that in the sacrament of the Eucharist, we have an abundance of every spiritual gift. We really do. But if we live in serious sin, we are, by our own choice, closing ourselves off from this abundance of every spiritual gift. And then we are left spiritually empty. People who have stopped going to Mass, sometimes they say, oh, I wasn't being fed, so I just figured I'm not going to go to Mass anymore. Well, they were being fed, but it's possible that their hearts were hardened by their own sins and they refused to go to confession. If I ever say Mass in the church on a Sunday or Holy Day of Obligation, and it appears that the church is mostly empty, I say that the people in this area, either they have lost their faith in the real presence of Christ in the Eucharist, and they see no reason to go to Mass, or they have their faith, but they're living in sin. And when they've gone to Mass, they haven't experienced that sense of being filled with an abundance of every spiritual gift by Eucharistic communion, because the hardness of their hearts hardened by their sins. And therefore, they are no longer interested in the Eucharist because they don't seem to benefit from it whatsoever. If we study the lives of the saints down through the ages, you notice in the saints that they had tremendous faith in the real presence of Christ in the Eucharist. And they had a strong desire to avoid sin, to live by the law of Christ. And this way, to be ready to receive this abundance of every spiritual gift by Eucharistic communion. Dear brothers and sisters, Christ is really present in the Eucharist. In his presence in the Eucharist is what will save the world and bring peace to the world. We must be a Eucharistic people if we are to be real Christians. In the Eucharist, we have Jesus himself. He is truly present there because of his love for us. Let us love him in return.